Humility of spirit, which means brokenness over sin, is the mother of all spiritual graces. Only as we are humble before Him does God work the work of grace in us. Humility is a strange virtue. The moment you're satisfied that you have it, you have just lost it. And yet it is an essential virtue, a becoming grace, and a rewarding attitude toward self, toward persons, and toward God. Pride is the worst of sins, while humility is the chief of graces. Pride is a mental and spiritual disease. It is a personality defect. It is a sign of immaturity. Humility, on the other hand, is a Christian grace. It is the courage and ability to see yourself, accept yourself, and denote yourself to your true place. Humility is the second step in the soul's return to God, the second ingredient in God's formula for revival as set forth in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen to the text. God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." So the first step toward revival is identification, recognizing yourself as one of God's own. The second is brokenness, humility of spirit in view of your sin and His holiness. Humility of spirit, which is brokenness over sin, is the mother of all spiritual graces. Only as we are humble before Him does God work the work of grace in us. Men might look down upon a humble person, but God values the broken and contrite spirit very highly. Why should we be broken before God? Well, there are three significant reasons given in the Bible for you to have a broken and contrite spirit. First, be broken before God because of the evil nature and work of pride. Remember that pride was the first sin of Satan. It brought the fall of multitudes of angels and of the whole human race. It deceives the heart and hardens the mind. It causes contention and stirs up strife. It binds like a chain as it leads to destruction. It makes one forget God, and therefore God hates it. Pride is the parent of discontent, ingratitude, presumption, passion, extravagance, and bigotry. It is involved in every other sin. Second, be broken before God because of your standing before God. You stand before Him as the creature before the Creator. You are as dust and ashes before Him who is sovereign over all. You stand before Him as the sinner before the judge, but can be as the saint before the Savior. You stand before Him without merit, since in unregenerate human flesh no good thing is to be found. For a person to promote his own importance to the ignoring of God is to deceive himself. Now who are you and who am I that we should stand with pride in the presence of God? When we see God as He truly is, we will cry out with Isaiah, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And third, we should be broken before God because of His attitude toward the proud. James 4:6 reads, "He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Now note that word resist in "God resists the proud." It means to draw oneself up to do battle. The text warns that God sets Himself in battle array against the person who is filled with pride. On the other hand, He gives grace to the one who is humble in spirit. Now do you want His grace or do you want to face Him in battle? Be humble before God. But then another question. How can you be broken before God? That's a most essential question in view of God's requirement that you have a broken and contrite spirit. Well, read James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, and you will find the answer to the questions. First, depend on God's grace rather than your merit. His grace is always sufficient. Second, submit to God. Recognize His right to control your life and welcome His government over you. Let everything in your life come under His examination, retaining what He approves and rejecting what He disapproves. Third, resist the devil. He is your enemy who is seeking to destroy you, and whatever he desires for you is certain to harm you. Look on him as your enemy. Fourth, Draw near to God. Turn your mind toward Him. Center your affection on Him. Do what pleases Him. And as you draw near to Him, you will discover He's already drawn near to you, for He is only a prayer away. Fifth, cleanse your heart and hands. That is to say, purify your motives and your conduct, both. Ask God to search you and to show you what grieves the Holy Spirit who lives within you. As He shows you something that is amiss, correct that immediately by rejecting what is wrong and developing what is right. Sixth, sorrow over your sins. Remember that godly sorrow leads to repentance, and repentance leads to forgiveness. There will be no forsaking sin until you have sorrowed over sin. So cultivate a sorrow which grieves that you've sinned against a holy God. Sorrow until the love of sin has died in your heart. Seventh, yield all into God's hands. You will find as you yield into God's hands, a wonderful thing happens. He will not press you or punish you. He will lift you up. Everyone who humbles himself shall be exalted, and he who exalts himself shall be abased. Therefore, follow this sevenfold guideline from the Epistle of James chapter 4 and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may lift you up. What difference does brokenness make? Well, a humble spirit makes a vast difference in our relations with people about us. It stops criticisms and false findings, for instance. I condemn another person because I do not feel guilty at the point of his error. Criticism is an expression of self-righteous hypocrisy, and humility stops it. Humility also overcomes impatience. A proud person will say, "If you don't stop that, I will scream." But a humble person would not. A humble and contrite spirit is a broken spirit before God, and it overcomes impatience. Humility makes one willing to serve. A pastor lamented, "I'm tired of excuses and disinterest." You see, he was feeling the frustration of leading a people who were not humble enough to serve. Humility will give happiness. It seeks to make others happy rather than seeking happiness for self. Therefore, it finds the happiness it does not seek. And humility brings peace in social relations. The proud person sees every other person as a threat to his self-assumed importance. But the humble person receives each person as a person of worth and rejoices in them. But we can go a step beyond that and say that humility brings the blessings of God. Remember that God does battle with the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Do you want to be resisted or assisted of God? Your own spirit will determine which it is. Now, what promises are given to one who is broken before the Lord? There are two. James chapter 4, verse 6 states that if you will humble yourself before God and resist the devil, you will have spiritual victory. The devil flees from the one who is yielded to God. Satan knows he cannot withstand God, and he flees. So if you would know spiritual victory, humble yourself. And secondly, John 4:10 promises that God will lift you up if you are humble before Him. Humility makes one greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It supplies God's grace. It exalts. Brokenness before God, therefore, is an essential step toward revival. It is demanding, of course, for the devil does not like it and the flesh nature does not like it, but it is rewarding beyond description. We're desperately in need of revival in our world today, a sweeping and purifying revival that will change the course of our culture. And here is where it begins, in the grace of God which comes upon the humble and seeking soul. Father, thank you for lifting the lowly, forgiving the guilty, and renewing those who seek you. We humble ourselves before you, and we invite your work of grace in us to begin by bringing revival for Jesus' sake. Amen.